This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Our goal is to show you how to eliminate all of your debt, no matter how small, no matter how big the debt may be. Check out our Bible study, Faith and Money Matters. You can preview it at compasscatholic.org. I'm Steve Holbrook, and with me the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. This is the time of the year that you can begin looking at healthcare coverage, whether it's the traditional healthcare insurance or an alternative. And the alternative that we're going to discuss today is called healthcare sharing programs. In fact, later in today's show, we have a guest. His name is Bob. Bob has been participating in one of these alternative programs for the past 5 years, and he'll get into why he made the change, the transition from traditional to a healthcare sharing program, and how it works. But first, John, define what is a healthcare sharing program.
I think they're basically faith-based programs. They facilitate volunteer sharing. They facilitate sharing between the members who are eligible for medical expenses. The way it happens is that members send in monthly shares, just like you would send in your premium payment for your insurance, your health insurance. That's shared with the other members to cover their expenses.
So in other words, if my share was, let's say, $100 and you had a health care cost of $100, I might send my money in and it would cover your expenses.
That's correct. And in with some of the organizations, you might actually send your $100 to another member. You wouldn't even send it into the quote-unquote home office.
So this is kind of getting back to the roots of Christianity, isn't it? Where people take care of each other and people with similar beliefs and values are coming together to share each other's burdens and needs, right?
Absolutely. So it's really similar to the risk pooling nature of regular health insurance. So a large part of the appeal of the healthcare sharing programs is that they're much less expensive than health insurance. I know somebody who had a private health insurance, you know, typical, the way we've been brought up, kind of a health insurance program. He didn't have a business program through his business. He had his own business, and it was costing him close to $1,500 a month. And when he shifted to a healthcare sharing program, his costs went down to, I think, $500. So he's saving $1,000, not a year, but every single month.
So the first question, I think, about the coverage the same?
And that depends on which organization you're dealing with. Not only that, but each organization may have three or four variations or levels of plans. Some of them cover this and some of them cover that, but neither one of them cover everything.
You know, one of the things while we were doing some background information for the show today, one of the things that I found interesting was that the costs are calculated by the number of adults and whether or not there are children. And that doesn't matter if you have one child or 15 children. The children count as one unit. So each parent is a unit and the children are one unit, no matter how many kids you have. So that's significantly less expensive than a lot of the health insurance programs that charge by the kind of noses.
The insurance is not dependent on whether or not you have a job or not.
It's not insurance. Don't call it insurance.
The health sharing program. It's not insurance. It's a program.
Yes.
And it could be a lifestyle. Evelyn, tell me, what are some of the other things that you found that intrigued you about the program?
Well, typically, the healthcare sharing programs have lower out-of-pocket expense limits than your typical high-deductible health insurance plans. But what you have to keep in mind is that these are sharing programs, not actually health insurance. And one of the reasons that they're less expensive is because their coverage may be more limited.
So the limitations of coverage are based not only on managing potential costs and claims, but also the faith-based nature of the programs in the first place. A healthcare sharing program might not cover a typical medical expense that you would get with a health insurance policy if it was deemed that those expenses were not biblical. For example, and this is just an example, you have to look at all the programs individually to determine what they do or don't cover. But as an example, they might not include coverage for birth control or abortions or injuries that are related to alcohol or drugs or maybe even injuries from certain hazardous activities, which could include failure to wear your seatbelts. You know, you have an accident, you didn't have your seatbelt on, you get hurt, they might not cover it. So you have to, you know, every program is different, and every program has, as I said, different levels, which make each level different. So you have to really do your homework to know what you're purchasing.
The other thing I thought was interesting is that to become a member of some of these programs, you may be required to sign a statement of faith. And some of them even have verify that you attend church regularly, and they make you sign, have a sign off from somebody at the church that you're actually a participating member and you go to church every Sunday. And so it's a much different mindset than typically buying insurance off the shelf.
So answer me this question. This is brand new. This is foreign to me, and I'm sure a majority of the people listening. I'd love to hear the differences between the healthcare sharing programs and your traditional institutional healthcare insurance.
I think, Steve, you know, you can't do that without looking at a specific individual plan A versus plan B. But let's just take a look at some of the differences as it relates to cost. For example, the guy that I mentioned earlier, where he's saving $1,000 per month in his insurance costs, those are insurance costs are inflated. Okay, they cover all sorts of things that we don't even want to go into at this point in time, that the insurance companies are using to cover whatever. So if you go into a doctor's office and you tell him, I don't have insurance, I'm going to pay you cash, what do you think happens?
They'll negotiate.
Exactly. And that's essentially is what's happening here. The cost of the medical procedure that you're going to have is negotiated, and typically it is only 30-50% of the cost that you would pay if you turned it into your insurance company.
So basically there are two rate cards that a doctor's have, one for insurance and one for someone that's paying cash.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And to be perfectly honest, depending on which health care sharing organization that you're dealing with, you may be responsible for doing the negotiating with the doctors.
Oh, so that's an option that's available.
That's an option that's available. If you choose to do that yourself, and some of the programs actually require it, some give you the option. If you do it yourself, your monthly fee will be a little bit lower than if you say, nah, I don't want to be bothered with that kind of stuff. You negotiate for me.
You know, another big difference is that insurance is a legally binding contract between an insurer and an insured, and the healthcare sharing plans aren't. They are not guaranteed to pay for any specific events or medical procedures or medicines in return for what you're paying as far as the sharing option. So it's more of a voluntary program than a legal requirement like health insurance is.
Okay, we just took you through an explanation of what is a healthcare sharing program and also the differences between the healthcare sharing program and traditional healthcare insurance. Now let's bring up our guest. His name is Bob. Bob has been participating in a healthcare sharing program for the last 5 years and having transitioned from a traditional form of healthcare insurance to this healthcare sharing program. So Bob, welcome to the show. Take us through your transition from the traditional healthcare insurance to a healthcare sharing program.
I was involved, as many people were, with traditional corporate insurance, and the premiums just started rising and rising and rising, and it got to a point where I just said, I can't do that anymore. And so I started looking for alternatives. And so I transitioned out of the corporate insurance that was getting ready to charge me $1,200 a month in premiums plus deductibles. And I just said, that's unacceptable. And at that time, I started hearing some things about the Christian health sharing, and I was open to that. So I started investigating it, and I made the transition, and I've been doing it for 5 years now because it just is a more reasonable way of handling and meeting your needs. And I like to say, go figure, Christians meeting each other's needs. That kind of sounds like that's right out of the Bible.
So, Bob, you talked about the two different, what we would term to be traditional insurance programs, and each time the premium increased and increased and increased. Mm-hmm. You've been with the health sharing plan now for 5 years. What's happened to the payment? I won't call it a premium because I know it's not really a premium, but you do make a monthly payment. How has that changed over the 5 years?
Yeah, I love the communication that comes out of the ministry or the organization I'm working with, and they're very upfront of saying healthcare costs are going up. So the way it works with us, I started out with the Christian health sharing paying, the difference is huge. I started out paying $360 a month for both me and my wife, and there's different levels for the amount of family, children, and how many people are involved. But that's what I was paying. And they said that they've experienced that there might need to be an increase in your share typically every 2 to 3 years, which is better than every year. And so we did experience that. And so we went the first time we had an increase went from 360 up to 440, which sounds like a lot, but 440 facing all the other alternatives was still a pretty good alternative. And the thing I like about it, though, is what happens is they only do this when they meet, when they have like 3 or 4 months in a row where the amount of money to meet the shares doesn't match, so they fall below the point. Other than that, it rides smoothly month in and month out at the same levels. But when they experience a level of like 3-4 months in a row where there's not enough share to meet the needs, then what they do is they submit to us a vote, and they make like 3 or 4 suggestions of price increases, and there has to be a 60% vote in order for it to go forward from the people that are participating. I love that. And so, like, we're all engaged in it and a part of it and involved in it. And so we increased it. We agreed to increase it up to 440. And, well, we just experienced it again. So it's really, you know, the 2 to 3 year rule is panning out. But we just went from 440, but it only went up $15.
So, Bob, any idea how many members are in the program that you're involved in?
Yes, I do know that. 30,000 member households, and within 5 years, because of all the different things that are going on out there in the political world and in things of that nature, I think there's over 85,000 household members now. So they're getting stronger, and I believe they're one of the 2 or 3 largest organizations.
So if I heard you correctly, your monthly payment stays consistent. It doesn't fluctuate or adjust depending on the need. So it stays consistent. Is it like regular insurance where there's an open period you can enroll, or can you enroll anytime during the course of the year?
No, you can enroll anytime, and you fill out an application, and you have to go through and, you know, make sure you read all of their documents, and you have to sign. They have a very detailed page on all the things, you know, how it works, that you understand, and you sign off, and your spouse has to sign off on it. And so they go through a very detailed application process, but you can do that at any time.
So when you were doing a comparison, the type of coverage that you had under traditional is basically the same as you have on a healthcare sharing program, as far as they're covering the same types of medical needs.
Yes. But like I said, with this organization, there's like a 45-page PDF guide document of the guidelines that goes through all of the different issues, what's covered, what's not covered. So like anything else in insurance or anything else, you have to go through and check out the benefits and make sure that, and they're all a little different. All of the health sharing systems operate and function a little differently. So you have to go through and thoroughly read that to understand. But yeah, they'll go through to what's covered, what's not covered, how it operates, and you know, the different benefits and things they do and they don't do. They'll like, that's all explained in a document.
So, Bob, some of the health sharing plans ask the members to negotiate with the doctors, and other plans will do the negotiation with the doctors for you.
Right.
How is your plan, and kind of take us through that process?
Yeah, they do ask you to do that, but they try to help, too, wherever they can. With our organization, they encourage us to... And it all depends on the timing on when you're submitting your bills and when you're putting it all, your package or your need together, that they do this. But yeah, I've been under the impression that it's my responsibility to go out and to try to negotiate. And the unspoken rule or written, I don't remember whether it was written down, is not to get a 30% discount. And if not, what happens is if you don't get discounts, they now have an organization called the Caris Group that could come in alongside you and help you do that or do that for you if you work with them to do that. So they do help you. But what I've experienced is that by going in, and most people and doctors know, are learning and are getting up to speed on what's going on, and they know when they hear self-pay, they know... They know that that's what you're looking for or what you need. And so I just say I'm self-pay and I need to look at your discounted rates. And I've been experiencing more than 30% in the discounts, anywhere from 50 to 75% in the discounts by doing that. But I usually do that after I get in through the process and things of that nature. And you can negotiate with them better when you're in the billing process.
So, Bob, when do you negotiate with them? The day you arrive for the appointment, or you make an appointment, but you negotiate before you arrive?
If you're going to your basic provider, you want to get or find out what their rates are for procedures before you go in there. And then you can go from there, and then as it progresses and whatever happens or whatever you need happens, you can negotiate with the hospitals, the bills, the surgeries, and things of that nature. But you're going to want to get the general rates or the general rule of thumb of what they're doing or what they're willing to do or not willing to do before you go in.
So you just contact the doctor's billing department and work with them. Now,
yep, we say we're self-pay, and we need to see your or know what your, or you know, whether you'll work with us in the rates or not. And a lot of times, if you're going to a specialist, they're going to refer you to somebody, and you're going to want to go who they refer you to. So you just got to be highly communicating with them what's going on and what you need, and then you got to make a decision whether it's acceptable or not. But either way, I found that. No matter what you do and what you get, if it doesn't show up on the front end, in the long run, when it's time to pay, if they want you to pay, they're going to negotiate with you.
Yeah.
But you're responsible for paying your bill just like anything else.
Yeah. And now when you send your share payment in every month, do you send it to the share organization, or do you write a check based on some direction from the share organization to specific individuals?
Great question. How ours works at the Samaritan Mission, and like I said, they're all a little different. The way ours works is on my anniversary date, my share amount that is the same for everything I do every single month, one share a month goes directly to the ministry to help support administratively the ministry because it's a nonprofit. But then after that, they send me newsletters or information every single month, and with a name of a person and their need or what they're going through or what they're having done, or whether it's a baby or we've babies or cancer or whatever it may be, and I make a check out and send it directly to that person every single month for the other 11 months. I know some of the ministries you send it directly to the ministry and they do all the processing and they do everything else.
So, I mean, I want to go back to the payment. So you have a procedure done. They expect payment within 30 or 60 days, the doctor?
Well, just like anything else, 30, 60, 90 is usually and that's when you want to, and I've seen some organizations or hospitals, they'll say right there while you're getting the procedure done, if you want to pay right now, if you want to pay in full right now, we'll give you a 20% discount. I did that the first time, but I found out by waiting and paying later in the cycle, they were way more open to deeper discounts.
Okay. So when do you receive reimbursement then from the program you're involved in?
Yeah, it starts off with we have a need or we open up a need. And then when you get your doctor bills in, you submit the doctor bills to them in a packet. And I'm in the middle of doing something right now with a new need. Then it gets reviewed to make sure it falls in line with all the guidelines. And let's say everything passes mustard. And then it goes, once it's approved, then it's submitted and it's shared. So you're like in a 3-month cycle to where you open your need, you provide your bills, it gets approved, then it's published in your newsletter or shared with the households, and then I get it in a month. So anywhere from like 3 to 4 months, you get reimbursed for whatever you share or whatever bill you uploaded, which isn't bad.
One of the things that, you know, when you signed up for this program, you were both in pretty good states of health, but over the past 5 years, your wife has had some significant issues.
Yes.
Have you ever had anything that was turned down or that you couldn't accomplish that you would have normally taken care of?
No, we have not experienced that. I know that if something happens, if you have something like it's an existing condition before you sign up or before you register, that may or may not be covered. So like I said, that's where you got to go back and read the guidelines or communicate with them and ask questions about those types of things. But no, we haven't experienced anything. And I guess the best way I can explain it, the very first experience we had with it, my wife had 3 major procedures done within a 10-month period of time. After we went through the whole process, there was about $120,000 in medical bills. We negotiated them down to $44,000.
Wow.
That was published, and we were reimbursed that all within 10 months. And so we were made whole, and all the doctors and the hospitals and everybody involved was paid all within 10 months. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Considering that I think with traditional insurance, sometimes the doctors don't get paid for not months, but years.
They love me.
But you have to be diligent and, like you said, communicate and also make sure that documentation is handled correctly.
Yep, that's correct. My ministry, though, there's a 1-800 number away. If you have any questions, any thoughts, any fears, they're real quick. They want to pray with you. I mean, all kinds of neat things, like the Christian community supporting each other and meeting each other's needs has really been kind of a cool experience.
So I think
they'll answer all your questions and tell you what will work or what doesn't work and what to do. And they also provide lots of resources like healthcarebluebook.com. There's MetaBid where you can go out and file your need and see if somebody wants to bid on your procedure. I mean, there's all kinds of tools out there that they're providing that you can make useful to help you keep your costs low.
Hey, Bob, is there a drug plan also associated with these programs?
There is there are some things in the guidelines. I'm not that familiar with them. We haven't really taken advantage of that, and so we've been self-financing or self-insuring regular doctor visits and other things like that. But they do have some basic things like insurance. You get it covered for 120 days and 100, you know, we just try to figure out which hill we want to die on and which battle we want to fight.
Right.
But we've been self-insuring self-insuring regular medical bills, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a year I pay versus the $15,000 to $20,000 in premiums for insurance is a no-brainer.
Bob, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show. You know, we could have actually asked you another hour's worth of questions, but the information you shared today, extremely valuable.
Oh, my pleasure. And there are some that have long histories. Ours just had our 25th anniversary, but you have to go do the work and the research to figure out which one meets your needs the best.
Bob, thank you so much. We could have gone another half hour. A lot of information in today's show. And to make it easy for you, we have included the links to all the healthcare sharing programs that were discussed today. And as Bob said, and highly recommended, that you read the material to each and every one of them and look for the one that fits your needs the best. We also provided a summary of today's show. In fact, in Evelyn's blog, you'll find that list of links to all the healthcare sharing programs that are available to you. And if you'd like to share this show with someone or maybe even listen to it again, by all means, go to compasscatholic.org and click on podcast summary. And before we leave it today, we do have time for one question, an email that we received this week. John and Evelyn, does delinquent medical debt affect your credit rating any differently or any less than a consumer debt, such as credit cards, or is all debt looked at the same way?
Yes, past due medical bills definitely hurt your credit score because your credit score and your credit report measure the likelihood of you being able to pay your bills, and that's all bills, including medical bills.
Yeah. I agree. It's going to be a black mark until it's paid off.
If you have a question for John and Evelyn, send it to ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have a brand new podcast for you. It's available each and every Wednesday, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast. Not only will you find the most current podcast, but you'll find an archive library of all the ones that we've done. In fact, you can even search for a topic that you have an interest in regarding finances, and you will find that podcast as well. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. And remember, we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.